a message we have captioned, Fight for Your Destiny. Fight. I have never been passionate about anything, any message, more than I am passionate about this. Hallelujah. And I pray that you have ears to listen. Amen. And your heart will become receptive. And you make up your mind to do. I said in the workers' meeting this morning, if you are not growing spiritually in this church, I am proud to say, and sorry at the same time, it's not my fault. Praise the Lord. That one has to be your fault. Amen. Because I know you are well fed with the word here. It's just that some will refuse to feed. Some people, one of the characteristics I've found out in the body of Christ, people don't like discipline. People don't like to follow instructions. And the word of God is full of instructions. Hallelujah. Destinies are manifested for those who follow instruction. The Bible says from my text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. It says, but as it is written, I had not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Underline the them that love him. Them that love him. Not everybody that comes to church, but them that love him. This one already removes those who are not even in his presence. God had revealed them unto us by spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. But natural man receiveth not, verse 14, but natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, not carnally discerned, not mind discerned, not news discerned, not, oh, it doesn't make sense. It will never make sense. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. This tells me the best things in life are not on the surface. The best things in life are in the deep. Hallelujah. Fighting for your destiny. You can't even fight for what you don't know. You can't even fight for what you have not discovered. You can't even fight when you don't know what your place is. In your bulletin, I wrote about the civil rights movement in America. In the 50s, people fought for the emancipation of black people to eradicate segregation so that everyone will have equal access. Everything around them did not make it easy. They were the minorities. A lot of us were not born then. And those of us who were born were probably toddlers at the time. We did not understand. Those of us who are immigrants in this country, a lot of us do not understand the pain that those who have gone before went through. Congressman Cummings, Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King lost his life. They were all fighting for a destiny of a race. I stand on this altar to repeat to you what I've said before. I don't believe that Black Lives Matters. I believe that every life matters. Because when you are still saying Black Lives Matters, there's still segregation in that statement. We are all human beings, regardless of race or color. People are fighting. We are benefiting today. Yes, it's not perfect. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. He saw it. A day is coming. Before, our children cannot go to the same school with other people. I know today our children still suffer. The ideology of segregationalism. But the devil has lost the battle. The point is, what are you going to fight for? What are you going to stand for? What do you think God created you for? Because if you have been a Christian up till now, and you are still struggling with finding your place in God's economy, then there's a problem. Everybody's not going to be popular. Everybody's not going to be in the forefront. Some have to be at the back so that those who are in front can push on for the benefit of everybody. Hallelujah. The Bible says, first and foremost, those things which God had prepared for those who love him, I had not seen, he has not heard. And I dare say once again, it's not 9 to 5. It's not a job. It's a destiny. Job is not a destiny. Many want to kill themselves because of job. Jobs will never bring you fulfillment. But until you know the purpose for which you were born, the purpose for which you were created, then you have two legs to stand on. Then you know your rights. Then you know your place. Then you know what to fight for. And you know what? The irony is, the enemy knows your destiny. As soon as Jesus was born, they saw his star. And somebody said, I'm going to kill that star. But Jesus knew why he came. He says, for this reason came the Son of Man, to destroy the works of Satan. Why are you here? This is a message that can never go out of style. If your whole heart is not connected with God in the place of prayer, you can't see the manifestation of God's promises for your life. Enough of blaming the devil. What are you doing? What are you doing about it? You may look ordinary. You were not created to be ordinary. Don't live a problematic life. You are a solution. You need to become aware of what you are wired with. God said in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." God is not far away. God is closer than you think. I've said it time and time again. I don't care what you take away from me. As long as I have the word of God, I will happen again. Praise the Lord. I will happen again. It does not matter what the enemy does. As long as I do not lose my place in Christ, I will happen again. And you need to know that, so that you are not afraid. Some of us live our lives based on the measuring meters of human beings. You'll be frustrated for life. Even the Bible says, there is the glory of the sun and there is the glory of the moon. There are two different glories. Amen? So if God made you a moon, don't be angry. You can still shine through the sun. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, "For a great door," he saw it, "a great door and effectual is open unto me. And there are many adversaries." This already tells me that beside every opportunity, there's a challenge. Hello? Close to any opportunity, there is a problem. What is the challenge? The adversaries that says that open door, you will never go through it. That word God spoke into your life will never come to pass. The adversary, the enemy says you will never be better than who you are now, regardless of what you confess with your mouth. Maybe you sang with us, now he's in control, he's in full control. Whereas you never gave him control. Then you are giving the enemy the upper hand to say whatever they will, to say whatever they want. Have you not realized that where there is no resistance, there is no need to apply force? Hello? Where there is no resistance, if you are driving a car and you are on a straight plain road, you need to accelerate, right? But when you are on a slope, you don't need to apply any force. It moves by itself. But guess what? Destiny don't move by itself. We have to apply force. You cannot be lazy in the pursuit of destiny. It's a daily grinding, especially in the place of prayer. Because in the place of prayer, you receive instructions of what to do, of where to go, of how to maneuver. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying this morning. Amen. You need God. I need God to lift up our destiny. You can't do it alone. You can't keep keeping to yourself. You need God. It is God that will touch men. We need to stand in the face of God and grind it out. Lord, this is what your word says. There are some times when I tend to want to forget what God said. And each time that happens, suddenly I begin to feel dejected. And the moment I snap out of it, before I finish snapping out of it, God will do something. God will send someone to remind me again. Someone that I may not have had the same discussions with. When you look at Wisdom Assembly, a lot of people may see nothing. Because you are moved by your physical eyes. But I see something. When our guest speaker last week came in, as I picked him up at the airport, as soon as he got into the car, he said, "Pastor Cal, the first thing the Lord told me as I stepped out of the aircraft was to tell you that Wisdom Assembly is a church that will make global impact." I smiled. Why? Because that was not the first time I heard it. He's never been here before. He's never been to Kansas City before. Tears rolled down my eyes. Why? There were tears of gratitude once again to God to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you so that I don't just act as though, well, this is the best that can be." No, this is not the best that I will be. Even when somebody who is working for you, who is working with you, a workman, a laborer, working tirelessly in our children's church, will look at me and say, "Pastor Cal, God has given you something great." I see you take this whole neighborhood. There's somebody who has never attended this church before. Even the time he spent with me, it was like, "Pastor Carr, I can see your vision." Now I can see your vision. But if you are here, you've been here, and you can't see it, it's because you don't want to. It's because you don't want to. There are some who don't want you to lift up your head at all. There are some who don't want you to achieve purpose or destiny at all. Not only that, they want to keep you down. Not only, well, not to raise up your head at all, but actually not to raise it up ever. That's why you need God. Did you notice that when the stone was rolled away where Jesus was buried, an angel was sitting on the stone? Don't read your Bible. That stone that was rolled away, an angel was sitting on that stone. Why? So that the enemy cannot roll it back. Have you heard Jesus say, go and cause a demon to go and say, never return again? God is not the one that sends away something negative and allows them to come back into your life. Everyone sitting over your destiny, not only will they stand and move away, they will never return again into your life. That amen is not good enough. The book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 17 to 21. The word of God says, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion. Zion was going through a discomfort. The church was going through a problematic moment. And God brought this word of assurance. In continuation, I said, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. We are a peculiar people. A chosen people. A people of God. God will not abandon you. And I pray you will not abandon God. Then lifted I up my eyes. Notice this. Look at the prophetic word that came. As soon as the prophetic word came, the one the prophetic word came to or through now said, I lifted up my eyes. What did he see? Did he see the manifestation? Oh no. The next thing he saw was a problem. God said, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. Then lifted I up my eyes and saw, behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be this? And he answered me, these are the horns which scattered Judah. But you just gave me a prophetic word, positive, sweet to my soul. And the next thing I saw is a problem. The next thing I saw is the machination of the enemy. These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. God never make a promise if the solution was not at hand. Amen. You didn't get that. I said God never make a promise if the solution was not at hand. The horns were there before he gave the prophetic word. He said, but now, in spite of the fact that you are seeing the enemy, the solution is at hand. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? They came to manifest the prophetic utterance. They came to manifest the promise of God. These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man lift up his head. But these are come to fray them. The carpenters have come to break them. The carpenters have come to break them in pieces, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lift up their horn over the land of Judah, to scatter it. Today, I speak by prophetic utterance. Every demonic enemy that has come to destroy your destiny, that has come to scatter you helter-skelter, I say today, the carpenters of heaven, break them into pieces in the name of Jesus, in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. Every stronghold of the enemy, I said they are weakened today. Everyone incensed against your life, everyone incensed against your destiny, according to the word of God, I declare today that they become as nothing. If you believe that, shout a good amen. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, rise ye up. How can you move forward if you are not willing to rise up? You can't become spiritually like a desiccant. Rise ye up. Take up your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, listen to this. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it. Was that where he stopped? Was that where God stopped? No. He said what? Go and fight for it. Did you hear that? I've given it to you. But do what? Fight for it. I've given you your destiny. But do what? Fight for it. Destiny will not be dropped on your lap. Paul said, all the prophecies that have been pronounced over you, Timothy, now, through them, go and war a good warfare. When was the last time you went to God and said, Lord, you said through your prophet, you said through your son, that it shall be well with me. I declare today, according to the word of God, it is well with me. It is well with me going out. It is well with me coming in. It is well with my children. It is well with my spouse. It is well at my job. It is well in every area of my life. That is fighting for that promise. Everything that says it will not be well with me, scatter them today. Let your word come to pass in my life. Don't just fold your hands. My wife calls me a bulldog. Somebody who never lets go. That is me. I am stubborn with my faith. Like they say, God will not give you what you can't handle. So God will not promise what he can't deliver. Did you hear me? God will not promise what he can't deliver. The question is, will he be delivered with you or without you? But he shall be delivered. There's one of the songs I've been listening to through the week. Where's our keyboardist? That song is a part chorus. It says, the word of the Lord will not fail until Shiloh comes. Until Shiloh comes, until Shiloh comes, the word of the Lord will not fail. Until Shiloh comes, until Shiloh comes, until Shiloh comes, the word of God is settled. You see, when we are told in 1 Corinthians 16 to work out our salvation, it means fight. Fight. Jesus could have fallen for the tricks of Satan if he did not stand to fight. How did he counter? He countered with the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Until you are ready to fight, until you are willing to fight, you are not ready to take possession of your destiny. Until you are willing to fight. The open heavens this morning talks about raising up our kids, our children. You labor in the place of prayer for them. You labor in the place of prayer for them. Something is going on in America today. University students are meant to be reading, studying. They are killing themselves. Hardly 1 month goes by now that you don't hear about a killing in one university or the other. Those are our children. Not only in the university, high schools, offices, even churches. And you say you are not going to war? And you say you are not going to war? In that place of warfare, the enemy changes his mind and changes his course. Instead of coming to you, we'll take another direction. Instead of coming to your children, we'll take another direction. Let me tell you, whatever you give your destiny is what you are going to get from it. Whatever you give it is what you are going to get from it. The Bible talks about, and I'm going to use this to attach to what I've just said. 1 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. What are you sowing into your destiny? What are you sowing into the lives of your children? If you are a wise parent, you are keeping money aside for your children's college, right? In Missouri, it's 529. In Kansas State, what's it called? If you don't know it, then you're not doing it. It's a smart move. But you know what? It's no guarantee. Do you know that? Because somebody is investing that money for you. What if the investment goes south? Hello? But do you sow into the kingdom on the behalf of the future of your children? That's another level of sowing. That's another level totally. Wherever my children will be tomorrow, I don't know. I sow into their lives. I sow into their future. I sow into their marriage. You have a son, begin to pray for his life partner. You have a daughter, begin to pray for her life partner. Don't wait until he brings one vagabond home. Huh? And then half of his pants are on his ankles. And he's walking like this into your home, like a penguin. You know how some Nigerians say, get out of here. They're saying, get out of here. Get out of here. Don't say it then. Begin to say it now. Begin to pronounce it now. Even if they are deviating, guess what? God says, I will yet comfort Zion. He will bring them back. For I am persuaded that he alone is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So that when that day comes, what you have prophesied will be what will be. Destiny is a warfare. It's a fight. If you are just comfortable, well, we are in the best country in the world. I've got surprises for you. There are some peoples, there are some one percenters who are trying to make it the worst country in the world. If your joy is that, well, we are in America now. America is no longer the America who trusts in God. Those who are making the laws are not making the laws for the benefit of the future of your children, but right to make it, to destroy it totally. Somebody asked me, do we celebrate Halloween? Do we do trunk or treat? I said no. He said, but it's just for them to know the opposite of it. I said, there is no celebration of Halloween. No matter what you call it. No matter what you call it. What is the meaning of trunk or treat? And then churches put banners outside. Halloween. No, no, no. We celebrate life. We celebrate resurrection. We celebrate the word of God. That's what we celebrate. My children attend a Christian school, but there's Christianity and there's Christianity. We have to go to the teachers and say, our children must not participate in this, and they must not participate in that. If you don't agree, the day you are going to do it, let us know. They won't come to school. They won't lose anything. As a matter of fact, we have books for them at home that is more advanced than the one that you are using in school. It was, you know, I asked a friend of mine to order those books for me from Nigeria. You know how Nigerian textbooks are? They are different from American textbooks. Huh? You know? Ngozi has 10 yams. And Justus has 2 oranges. And then Donatus took 3. Praise the Lord. I remember when before entering the what you call first grade here, I already knew times table. You know that? My mom is leaving home and she says, you know those exercise book that has all the timetable at the back? He said you have to climb it while playing soccer. 2 times 2, 1, 2. You have to climb it. Today you are like 1 plus 1. If you don't know, America is lagging in educational status all around the world. You are created to be a person of influence. If you are not influencing anything, there's something wrong with you. How can you be an influence when you yourself, you are not influenced by the word? When you yourself, you are not influenced by the truth. When destiny rises, labor becomes favor. Condemnation becomes commendation. I pronounce today that your destiny will rise. Ah, I say your destiny will rise. And the destiny of your children will emerge. In closing, if you don't know it, I dare tell you today that God has invested too much in you to the extent that you have no right to give up on your destiny. You have no right to give up on the redemptive grace of God on your life. You have no right to give up because life is difficult. Those are shadows. How can you give up on God's plan for your life? How can you not even visit it and say, Lord, what do you have in store for me? Stop acting as though you are the creator of yourself. We're going to rise up.